Father in heaven, we praise you for your Son. Father, for all the truths that we just read and sang of him are amazing. And we confess right now that we need your help. So we ask, Father, that in the few minutes that are left, would you help us to hear and to listen as if it were our first time hearing about the message of the cross. Father, we don't want to go through another weekend of Easter without our hearts being affected by this great news. So, Father, help us now, we pray. Allow our hearts to be easily edified. And would your Spirit accompany your word to speak to our souls, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, there's no doubt that the image of Christ hanged on a cross is known throughout most of the world. We hang that image on necklaces, we place portraits in our homes, in our cars, we find that image in stained glass, and we share it across social media all over the world. That image comes from the description of the events that took place on what we now call Good Friday. We just read many of those details. Darkness, loud cries, a blood-stained cross hanged for all to see. Friends, those are the facts. But the question is, what do they mean? Because the mere description of an event is different from the meaning of an event or the message of an event. You know, I'll never forget while we were working in remote regions in Asia, one of my closest local friends and I were having coffee and a really good conversation. And at one point, he was trying to understand who I was as a follower of Jesus. And he got real quiet because he knew if others overheard us talking about religion, he would get in trouble. And so he put up his fingers like this in the shape of a cross. And he asked me, almost with a whisper, he said, "What does this mean? What does the cross mean?" You see, my friend knew of the cross. He knew of Jesus, but he had no one in his language to tell him the meaning or the significance of the cross. He had yet to hear the good news of Good Friday. And while the whole story of the Bible really points to the message and the meaning of the cross, tonight we're just going to focus for a few minutes on one verse that really captures it. Galatians 3, verse 13 tells us, friends, what the cross means. It says this: Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree." So one verse, three statements. What did Jesus do? First statement, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Well, how did he do it? Second statement, by becoming a curse for us. And how do we know? Third statement, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree." You will hear in each of those statements, so three times, the word curse. So this evening, I just want us to meditate on the curse that we were under, the curse that he became, and the curse that was displayed for us that day. Because, friends, all the historical details of those hours, the darkness, the cross, they all show us that it was a day of cursing, not blessing. And if there's one thing I would plead with you tonight, whether you've been a Christian a long time or whether you're hearing this for the first time, is that you would rely on the curse of the cross for your redemption. Rely on the curse of the cross for your redemption. Because, friends, we all rely on something for our right standing with God. Something or someone we put our trust in, we depend on. You know, that's really what the word rely means, to depend, to have full trust, right? I mean, we could say, because it's Easter weekend, that there is only one basket that we're all going to put our eggs in, right? Like, the question is going to be, what will it be at the end of the day? And in the context of our passage, the Apostle Paul is showing the church that those who rely on works of the law will be cursed, verses 10 to 12. And those who rely on the curse of the cross will be blessed, verses 13 to 14. And then Paul holds up, and front and center, he holds up the cross of Christ as the only way to be redeemed from the curse that we are under. Our verse says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. That word redeemed really means to buy back or to deliver out from under. And, you know, that won't sound like good news until we realize what exactly we were under. Think about the primary metaphor of redemption in the Old Testament was when Israel was rescued after over 400 years of slavery and oppression. That's what made them cry out to God for rescue. Just think, if the Israelites were down in Egypt, in Egypt floating on a river cruise of the Nile, sipping on piña coladas, they would have never felt their need to cry out. They would have never felt their need for redemption. So we should ask ourselves tonight, do I need to realize that I'm under a curse? Or do I need to remember that I was under a curse? Because friends, when we're faced with the law of God, we realize that our lives are not so much like a river cruise in the sunshine, but more like a cursed black pearl sailing at night. Listen to what Galatians 3 verse 10 says. Paul says, "For all those who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.'" You see, Paul reminds us that Scripture sets the bar. Like, if you want to earn your standing before God with your own personal efforts, Scripture's bar is set. And it's like going for an Olympic gold medal. There's no room for error. You must do all things that are written in the law, perfectly and perpetually, without fail. Paul understands that his audience knows they can't do that, and if we're honest, we know that we could never keep God's law perfectly and perpetually. So we are under a curse with no way out on our own. And because God is holy and righteous and good, we can't come to him with the argument, "I think my good will somehow outweigh my bad." Friends, that doesn't even work in a human justice system. Like, for example, say you get pulled over tonight going down College for running a red light. The officer comes over and he writes you a ticket for failure to stop at the red light. You can't say in that moment, "Yes, sir, I did run that red light, but I'm not guilty because I stopped at all the other red lights before it." And students, you can't say on a final exam, like, you can't get caught cheating on that and say to your teacher, "Yes, I did cheat on that exam, but I'm not guilty because I didn't cheat on all the other quizzes and tests." So friends, if that doesn't work in a human justice system, even one that's fallen, what makes us think that that will work before a perfect, holy, and just God? That reasoning that somehow our good works will outweigh our bad works should just show us that we have too high a view of ourselves and too low a view of the holiness of God. His word is clear. We have sinned before an infinitely righteous king, so we are under a divine curse, cursed by God. It's like being trapped in a deep mine with no way out unless someone comes to rescue us. But friends, the good news of Good Friday is that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. And how did he do it? Look at the next phrase. By becoming a curse for us. So we were under the curse, but he became the curse. Notice it doesn't just say that he got cursed, but that he became the curse. It's so amazing about this verse. Look at those two small but very important words. For us. You see, he did not deserve it. He was holy, righteous, undefiled, tempted in every way, yet without sin. He, friends, was the one who kept the law perfectly and perpetually, yet became the curse. This is the language of substitution. It's like the ultimate call to the bullpen, a strong reliever to come in and take our place. He was the blessed one in whom God was well pleased, and yet became the curse for us. And we know this because the curse was displayed on the cross. Look again at the last part of the verse with me. Paul verifies the claim that Jesus became the curse by appealing to the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy 21, when a criminal would be put to death, and on the same day the dead body would be hanged on a wooden post of some kind. The gruesome sight would then serve as a warning to others. It was to display and to declare to all around that if you follow in this man's footsteps, you will suffer a similar curse. It was the ultimate sign of curse and shame so that it could be seen and avoided by others. And what's so profound is that Jesus was hanged on a tree for all to see. He wasn't taken in the back room and executed. He was publicly displayed for everyone as the curse of God to offer his life as the perfect sacrifice for the sins of many. And in that moment, the Aaronic blessing of number 6 was inverted. The blessing that we are all so desperate to hear, to have God speak over us, the blessing that says, "The Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious with you, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." But as Jesus is hanged on the cross, the blessing, friends, is turned on its head. The eternal, holy, undefiled Son of God became the curse in our place. So the sky got dark, and it was in that moment as if you could hear the opposite of the Aaronic blessing spoken from heaven. The Lord curse you and reject you. The Lord surround you with darkness and judge you. The Lord turn his face away from you and give you pain. And after 3 hours of darkness, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Friends, what you must know is that Jesus received the curse so that you and I would never have to. That's what the cross means. And that's the message that's been passed down after Jesus was buried, rose from the dead, appeared to his followers, and ascended into heaven where he's now ruling and reigning. So that, listen to the next verse in Galatians 3:14, it's too good not to read it. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Friends, Jesus was cursed so that you and I could be blessed. Blessed to have God's grace, his love, his kindness, his affection toward you. Blessed to have your sins forgiven. And how do we receive this blessing? It's through relying on the curse of the cross. In other words, it's through faith. It's by turning from our sin, turning from our self-reliance, and turning to Christ in the empty hands of faith. So, ask yourself, what are you relying on today? What are you placing your full dependence and trust in? You know, one of the ways that I remember what faith means is the helpful, like, 5-letter acronym for "All I Trust Him." We trust him who is hanged on the cross with everything. And so maybe for the first time today, you feel your need for redemption and you need to cry out to God for rescue. I would encourage you to rely on the curse of the cross of Christ for your redemption. Don't remain under the curse that you justly deserve when he worked on your behalf. Friends, the cross was displayed so that you might see it and repent and believe in its message. And Christians, for us, we keep relying on Christ. Paul reminds us in the section that the righteous live by faith. You know, in the Christian life, there are ways that we slip into, like, thinking subconsciously that somehow we can earn God's blessing, that somehow through some kind of Christian performance or religious practice that we can get God's blessing in our lives and that he'll hear our prayers. But remember that the blessing is secured in Christ. Not even a little of the curse is left that you have to bear or overcome. It was all finished upon the cross. So children, when you disobey your parents once again, Or young adults, when you mess up in ways that you never thought you would. Or seasoned saints, when you feel like you will never measure up to somebody else's standard, rely on the curse of the cross for your redemption. Because the curse we were under was the curse he became and is the curse that was displayed so that we might receive the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ through faith. We must trust that, we must remember that, and we must proclaim that here and among all the nations. Let's pray. Oh Father, what can we do but thank you and praise you for sending your Son, who was born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as your children. Father, we praise you for Christ, who lived the perfect life that we could not live, who died the death that we deserve to die. Father, thank you for freeing us, for bursting our bonds on your death on the cross. Thank you for the message that you preserved and passed down to us so that we could hear your gracious call and invitation today. You are so kind when we were so undeserving. Father, thank you that there is good news on Good Friday. And help us now as we continue to reflect and remember with hope. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.